may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is Open Phone Lines Wednesday. This is a new addition to the Hagman and Hagman Report that we just started doing in the last few weeks. And each Wednesday, we keep at least 2 hours, the second and third hour, open for your calls, listener calls. We would like first-time callers would get preference first. But anything that's on your mind, we've talked about, or haven't talked about that you want to get into, feel free to give us a call. The number is 844-769-2944.
That's for calls to talk only. We do have a listen line that's on our website at HagmanandHagman.com. Before we get back to the calls, Russian jets buzz U.S. ship. Again, more theatrics, but nonetheless important theatrics, because consider this just one big family of globalists, and there are little tiffs between globalists and, you know, who they're fighting for, who's going to be on top on the other side. Referencing, this is a reference delivered to a sexual position, and that's how they think. That's not my interpretation. That's how they think, and they use planets and numerology and all of this to guide their actions. Now, Russian jets buzz U.S. ship. You think that's an accident? No. Is that a provocation? Certainly.
How many times have we seen Russian jets or ships coming into, you know, close to U.S. airspace or U.S. waters, or, you know, having flybys or close calls with other U.S. planes or military equipment?
But in the, yeah, frequent. Exactly. And in the larger sense, as we step back and look at even more of this mosaic, we're seeing where the panicked people with money are panicking. They're investing in bomb shelters. They're investing in panic rooms like never before.
Yeah.
The banks are not prepared for any type of crisis. The world, it is said, is sleepwalking into fresh multiple crises. We've got Obama accused by a very large producer. In fact, it's a shoe company, New Balance, saying that, hey, Obama had told us to shut up about the TPP, about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's all about trade. It's all about the globalization of trade. It's all about leaving the borders open. Why do you think the borders still remain open despite all of the uproar, despite this influx? Why do you think people, so-called from the Syrian humanitarian crisis, if it's truly a humanitarian crisis, you would not see, for example, the photographs of mainly men and then you know, one token female with a couple of children, you would see a greater mixture. And you have, on the Marxist progressive side, people who are attempting to make others feel like they're racist and bigoted and such and xenophobic because we are not welcoming these people with open arms. They themselves are useful idiots, not realizing or going along with the narrative that, hey, this is nothing but a humanitarian crisis. This is an orchestrated invasion, not a humanitarian crisis. So when you see individuals taking soccer balls and teddy bears to a border and giving them to the children of illegal aliens who are illegal aliens themselves, you've got to ask yourself now, are they just ignorant to the facts, or are they pushing this specific optic? And I would dare say it's the latter, not the former, given those people's level of the possession or positions and awareness. But understand, it's all about this centralization, this thrust, final push toward taking down America in order to make America subjugated to a UN or a one world, new world government that is centralized outside of the United States. We are not going to be calling the shots, and certainly America cannot act as a buffer against the new world order being imposed. And that's what this is all about. And they will take down anyone, attempt to take down anyone in any way, shape, or form who is attempting to expose this. And the whole tactic now, according to my sources, basically, it's a new day and it's a new fight. And the new fight is, we're coming after you.
Yeah, any way that they can, whether it's your name, your reputation, whether it's your life.
That is correct. So, it's amazing. We go back to the delegates and the constant with the delegates and the theft and the boastful arrogance and hubris, saying my candidate's smarter than yours, my candidate's playing checkers while yours is playing chess, whether it's Sanders and Clinton or Trump and Cruz. In the end, it's all about division, salting the perception to create division, and division is what they're after, because a divided country cannot fight, and that goes to the families as well. They want the families to be divided, and they want the church to be divided, and they're doing a heck of a great job. Compliments of those Christians, those people, those individuals who have decided to just take a passive stance, roll over and not say anything, or fall into either actively or passively fall into this normalcy bias, as well as this mental state of, well, this is how we should act as Christians, using the Bible not as a source of information but as a weapon against the truth-telling people on various platforms. And shame on them.
Well, we are told in the Bible that that Matthew 25:32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And it also talks about how there will be separations within families, divisions within families. And this goes back to Babel, to the dispersing of peoples in their own languages after they tried to complete the tower. And the Lord dispersed them into 70 different nations, 70 different tongues. And if you go back into Deuteronomy and the Old Testament and Genesis, you can see where there is in the Lord's instructions to keep separated. Now, this was back, obviously, 4,500 years ago.
Same plan, same playbook, different people.
Right. I mean, this in Genesis was for the purity of the genetics for the Savior to be born on earth. Now it is for the spiritual kingdom in the afterlife.
Here we go.
We're in a spiritual battle. You end up in one of two places, heaven or hell, whether you believe they're real or not. And that's a fact people are going to sadly find the hard way. We're going to go back to the phones, back to Florida. Marita in Florida, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Oh my goodness. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Great. How are you? How's Florida?
Oh, it's always beautiful here. Lots of chemtrails, though. Lots of chemtrails. I want to first... Can y'all hear me okay?
Sure.
Oh, perfect. Okay, because I have y'all on speakerphone. I wanted to, first of all, thank you both. I just find it to be an honor to speak to the both of you, to have had an opportunity to meet the both of you in Dallas and the rest of the speakers in Dallas. It was just eye-opening and
spirit-filling.
I try not to take up too much of your time, but I was sharing with you that I won't say recently awake because I've always been awake. I think what's happened to me and my family and some of my very close friends is that we're finding people of like-mindedness, I guess you can call it. So that I am very, very grateful for. And I wanted to thank the both of you for your obedience, for your strength, for your love for God's people, for His Word, for His wisdom, for His discernment, for just the things you can't even find anymore out there in a spiritual sense, I guess you can say. My son and I are very much looking forward to your community watchman that you are setting up, so we're very much involved with that, and I wanted to thank you for that, and I wanted to just make a, I guess you can say, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you teach. I mean, I don't want to be like, hey, I'm bowing down to y'all. It has nothing to do with that, but it just says the Spirit beareth witness. And so it's just nice to listen to a program where you're validated, I guess you can say, in the things that God is speaking to you, you know. And at the same time that you were just speaking about the division and the... I guess you can say, like, friendships ending and relationships ending. My son and I are very much experiencing that, along with some of my other friends. And I guess as God begins to reveal the truth, as the remnant, I guess you can say, is beginning to wake up, you're finding that there are a lot of people that are turning in an opposite direction, and you're finding that they actually like having their heads in the sand. No matter what you send them, no matter what you say to them, no matter how much truth you present, they look at you like you've lost your mind, and I think that's the scariest part. But the purpose for my call is, about 5 years ago, I had gone to see the movie Robin Hood, and I had been corresponding with your director, Kevin. And when I was kind of running away that night, and I went to see the movie Robin Hood with, can't remember the gentleman's name, who's in that movie, Russell Crowe. So anyway, there's a scene in the movie where Russell Crowe is in this little area, and he had found the sword of his father. And the binding had come loose, and so he begins to unravel the binding. And what's written on the, what's inscribed on the handle of that sword says, rise up, until lambs become lions. So at the point I'm reading those words on the movie screen, I mean, I'm pretty much in a row all by myself, you know, the Spirit of God comes on me, and I'm literally, like, shaking in the seat, and I kept thanking God. I'm like, oh, my God, I thank God that there's, like, nobody sitting next to me. So I kind of just kept it under wraps until the end of the movie, and then as I'm driving home, I find out later what it's called, but I get this like, spoken word called When Lambs Become Lions. And I was kind of hoping that tonight, I just prayed, I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to share that spoken word, then I'll get through on the line and I'll be able to share it. But I'm asking your approval to just share a spoken word that I believe is a now word for the remnant of God, because I believe God is waking up a sleeping giant. And that remnant, I believe, is a remnant that, you know, as God says in the end times, He'll pour out the spirit of Elijah, and that wheel within the wheel, that whirlwind would begin to move upon the earth, and that God would begin to raise up His sons and His daughters, and the young men and the old men will dream dreams and see visions. And I believe that that's now. I sense it with every part of my being. And I believe that the word, that spoken word that God gave me 5 years ago, isn't just a spoken word about me. It's about what God has just brought his bride through. And if, with your permission, I would love to share that, if it's okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Let me know if you can hear it, because I had recorded it earlier.
When you look at me, who do you see? I am my father's daughter. We are his sons and his daughters. Through pain and through heartache, he has stood by my side. Through neglect and hardships, he has been my guide. Once I was defeated, but now I say no more, for my trust in him is eternally sure. I will rise. Yes, I will stand. I will take my position within this land. He will lead and I will follow. No more am I going to stray. For now our hearts will beat as one, and he will lead the way. Today I stand before you and I proclaim, I will fall no more. Yes, I am the one his eye adores. He has strengthened my hands for a battle. He has set my face like a flint. He has called me to be his warrior, and now my life truly begins. For the days are coming where turmoil will rule these lands. But I will not fear. My life is within his hands. He will be my stronghold, and I his battle axe. I will listen for his orders and be ready for every attack. For the Lord of the heavenly armies will trumpet an ominous war cry. Onward into battle! Our swords held high. Oh, he's coming, my dear brothers and sisters. And what then are you going to do? Well, I plan on joining my Lord of Valor when he makes all things new. For the eastern skies are about to recede. He is coming in glory to gather you and to gather me. Are you ready to meet him? Are you fulfilling Father's call? Does he even know who you are? Or will he say no? Not at all. Well, I am ready to meet him at his return. Along with that angelic army, this whole world will mourn. Oh, they will see me with him as a part of that white and glorious bride, for I have made myself ready to fight along his side. I will rule and reign with him. No more am I going to cower. The enemy is defeated. This is Father's final hour. Oh, now the eagles are gathering. A great multitude will arise, for there is strength within their wings, and a blazing fire is in their eyes. Pursue! Overtake! Recover all! I hear them cry, and Father is leading them, and there is victory on every side. Oh, see the nations tremble when that sleeping giant stands as one, fully arrayed in his splendor, being led by God's triumphant Son. Oh, grave, where is your victory now? Oh, death, where is your sting? You have no power here. No, not in the presence of the Almighty King. Your tongue will confess him, and your knee will be bowed when you witness him and his glorious armies returning on the clouds. So watch out, O ruler of darkness. A great light is beginning to shine forth. Oh, the King and his kingdom are coming to this earth, and we will march across this land, and then everyone will know that the Lord of glory and his saints are now in control. So rise up, O timid lambs. Listen for your Lord's command. Be bold as lions and take back this land. Hallelujah.
That's very good. Wow, that's marvelous. Marvelous.
When I left the theater that night, I couldn't even drive my car. I was shaking so bad. And I pulled over, and in 20 minutes, that was what I got.
Wow.
And I've sat on it all these years, and my son and I knew when we went to that conference in Dallas that it was a, and it's not just about us, I'm just talking about the body, the bride in general in Dallas. I believe it was a catapult, and I believe that that's why there's so much coming against us now, because, you know, as you all have been saying, the enemy does not want this giant getting up, you know,
right.
You know, because light dispels the darkness, you know, and I am just proud, just so proud to be a part of your team and looking forward to everything that God is getting ready to do in and through all of us working together as one body. And that's what I love about, you know, your ministry also. And thank you for your families for, you know, expending you all to all of us. And I know it's a great sacrifice what you do, and we love you.
Well, God bless you.
So
Marina, thank you so much for that wonderful, the wonderful message. And God bless
you. It's a commission. It's our commission, Doug and Joe. And I'm looking forward. I'm sure we'll be meeting soon again. God bless you both.
God bless
you both.
Too. Thanks for calling.
Oh, and real quick, I'm sorry. That woman that sent the email about Jesus being our husband, I was in tears. If nobody else claims that, I claim it all.
Well, thank you.
Just tell her I said thank you.
All right.
We'll do.
Have
a great night.
Thanks, Marina.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you know what? Before we go on to other callers, I just want to make this perfectly clear. I need to make this perfectly clear at this point. I received an email today. And a couple of emails previous. I just want to make this really clear. The initiatives such as Community Watchmen, we are not, I mean, we have said, yeah, that's a great idea, but we do not administrate that. We are not administrators of that. That is a total separate entity. And just while I'm at it, I need to make this perfectly clear, because we, I've been getting emails where people are conflating and mixing some, they're presuming things that are not true. We were humbled by being asked to be the MCs at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas. We do not have any financial, or administrative duties beyond that, okay, with Hear the Watchman, because I'm getting emails saying, hey, you know...
people are saying, did you get my donation to Hear the Watchman?
Right. I mean, we have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Except, right, we are just merely the servants, the willing servants of that initiative. So again, we are neither the benefactors nor are we the administrators of anything with Hear the Watchman. That's a separate entity that we just merely have been blessed to be a part of. End of story. It's a good initiative, but we're getting emails where people are erroneously thinking that that we are in charge of certain things. We're not.
Yeah, and if you want to, you know, clarify or make sure that, you know, a donation you sent was received, you have to contact, if it was for Hear the Watchman, you have to contact Mike and Gene.
Right, exactly. So just to avoid confusion, because there's a lot of erroneous perception out there that we...
Yeah, it's been coming in more and more.
Yeah, so I finally figured, okay, we better say something just in case you're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, you put on Hear the Watchman. No, we didn't. We just merely emceed it. And, of course, we gave the platform for the initiative. But that's the extent of our involvement. So we have nothing to do with the monetary side in terms of DVDs. I've gotten a couple of questions about DVDs and about live streaming. Again, none of that is us. So please understand what I'm telling you. Do not think that any of this, aside from us providing the platform, is ours. The Community Watchman Initiative, you know, conceptually, we're behind it, but in the administration and practicality of it, we're not a part of it. We just don't have the time. We don't have the resources. We don't have that ability. So I just want to make that abundantly clear to everyone. So it's real simple. It's two separate entities. Always has been, always will be. Hopefully that clarifies several emails I got, you know, questioning certain things. So if you have an issue or want to know about the monetary aspects of Hear the Watchman in terms of, you know, okay, the live streaming or DVDs or whatever it might be, that's not us. We just simply provided the platform, and we're blessed to be a part of that. So, all right.
Thanks for clarifying that. We're going next to Hunter. Oh, I'm sorry.
David.
I'm sorry, Hunter. David.
And then,
thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
David from South Carolina, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Can you guys hear me all right?
We can.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to reiterate everything that you guys do on our, it's, God bless you. I'm glad I'm, this is my second time calling in. I know last time I called was 2 weeks ago and I was like, I'm going to wait 1 week before I call him back, but, God does, he does the same thing to me. You know, I'll just be driving down the road and I don't know if it's, I hope that it's him or encouraging, but I'll just start singing to God, and I'm not going to do my performance. God says make a joyful noise unto him, so I'll save it for him only, but things like that have hit me too, where, you know, you'll be riding down the road just focusing on God and what his mission is for you, and then just something will come to
like
your
a download.
Heart, and it really is. It really is. And I don't know if you guys get the same thing. Like when I first wake up in the morning, there'll be something in my head, like a book out of the Bible, you know, or like Revelations 9:11 has been real popular this past week. I don't know if you guys have seen seen any of the teachings on Revelations 9:11 about in the abyss, they had a king over them in the abyss, and then the memorial ground zero on 9/11. And I've been sharing that with everybody that I've talked to, and I always ask someone if they're a born again Christian before I share my born again Christian beliefs, and sometimes you get the crazy looks, you know. And I've actually talked to my aunt and uncle who led me to the Lord. Thank God for them, you know. I'm glad that they prayed for me. And December 22nd, 1992 is when I accepted him. So I'm glad for that. But going after I got that all said, you remember the lady that stood up in the House of Representatives, and she, mm-hmm. they caught her on recording saying a bunch of stuff, but what she actually said, what they caught on recording is what she was saying going into the elevator after she did her big speech in the House. Have you guys heard anything about her, anything else about her? And maybe, and I checked out some of your subscriptions on YouTube, because right now I'm actually in the YouTube room listening to you guys live. And a shout out to Karen Rogers and all the people you asked me, Karen, that told me the new number to call in and everything, and I was doing the copy and paste. But if you could give us some good websites that you guys maybe get some of your information from, and maybe tell us something, or what happened with the lady that actually did the standing up saying we're not one nation under God and all that stuff, I'd appreciate it. And I'll take my answers offline. If you want to go ahead and get to the next caller, because this is, I am the second time that I've called, and I'll probably call back in a couple of weeks again. But praise the Lord for you guys. This is really a great place for all. I look forward to this every week, and even just listening to what you guys say, and it's just a blessing to have brothers like you and sisters that are in the chat room, and the lady that just called. It's really a blessing to know that we have that kindred spirit between us all, that, you know, we can come and listen to you guys and get the news that we need to get from an unbiased point of view. And if somebody's got one of your books out there that they've already read, they can send it to me. I'll go ahead and put my address on the chat box if they've already read it.
Send me an email. I'll get you one.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just send it to studio@hagmanhagman.com with your postal address.
Will you autograph it for me and put me your favorite Bible verse in it?
Now you're pushing it. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Of course I will. Of course I will.
Thank you. That's for you, Doug, and you, Joe. Please put both your signatures and both your favorite Bible verses. Mine's Ephesians 4:30 or 4:20. Thank you, and I'll listen to you online. God bless you.
And what folks, what David was talking about was this happened back in October of 2013, where a woman, she was actually a stenographer for the White House. Yep. I'm not sure how many people remember this.
They try to say she was crazy.
Right. This was during the government shutdown, and she was a stenographer, and she was for the House of Representatives. She was dragged off the floor. It was a Wednesday night. I think it was like October 13th, and the reason I say it was October 13th of 2013. The date kind of struck, or maybe it was, I don't know, it was mid-October. But she said this, he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is not, this is not one nation under God. It never was. Okay, now, her full statement, and I'll just, I have it up here. He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here. This is not one nation under God. It never was. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. And she repeated that a couple of times. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she made her way to the rostrum during the House vote on the agreement to end the government shutdown. And the comments by the lawmakers, by the people there, said that she had this crazed look on her face. Now, bear in mind, this woman had worked in this position for a number of years. And, of course, we're talking about the woman who the Atlantic identified as Diane Reedy. She was taken afterwards to a local hospital for evaluation. And I do have, I mean, and yeah, folks, you can search Diane Reedy, R-E-I-D-Y, Diane Reedy. You can search for that term, and you can find sound clips of her, shall I say, outburst. But certainly, it was interesting, to say the least. Now, well, there you have it. So, in case you were wondering what David was talking about, there you've got it. That was the day, the approximate day and time and circumstances.
Making an assumption here, I doubt she still works at as a stenographer there.
No, I don't know. I don't know what her, what the disposition was, but, it's interesting that she would reference Freemasonry. But you know, we oftentimes consider the founding of our nation at 1776 or with the passage of the Constitution, when in fact, our nation was founded at Plymouth Rock under the Mayflower Compact, and that was founded by a community of God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians, Judeo-Christians, who were advancing who sought refuge here in this country against the tyranny of the religious tyranny and religious oppression. And isn't it ironic? Or maybe that's not the word. It's not surprising that now we find ourselves back trying to escape that same oppression.
Absolutely. Next caller is Mike, then Tom, then Hunter is our last caller. We're going to go to Mike in PA. Mike, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be quick. I just had an observation that what you guys are talking about tonight and everything and about the advances of the enemy is really concerning, but something I feel that is really alarming is the level of indifference, at least I experience on a day-to-day basis, when you try to talk to Christians about what the situation is, what's going on, what's just around the corner. And it's sad to say, but, you know, the case is the same with a lot of probably 90% of these little small churches. The pastors, when you try to talk to them, they kind of have that, oh, don't worry, God will take care of you, kind of an attitude, you know?
That's right.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm sure that those Christians that went through those concentration camps in Germany and went through the, you know, got exterminated through the ovens, I'm sure they were thinking God was going to take care of them. And, you know, the Lord doesn't expect us to check our brains at the door, just our hat. And,
I love
you know,
that. Yep.
We gotta wake up. And, you know, and I'll just say this one real short thing, and then I'm going to hang up. But if you really want to get a good picture of what the New World Order has for Citizen America. Go watch that movie. It's a couple years old. It's called Divergent with the guy, his name was Theo James, is one of the actors in it. But it will be alarming to you how Hollywood laid out the plans of exactly what they have in mind for the average American citizen. It's called Divergent. And, you know, it was produced from Hollywood, so I'm not, you know, trying to promote anything like that. But it just gives you a good picture of what they have in mind. And I'll hang up. God bless you guys.
Oh, God bless you as well. Too.
And thanks for the information on this film. We're going to check it out.
You know, yeah, and I've... I heard of it. It's impossible, really, to keep track of everything. Divergent, that came out, I think, in 2014. Theo James, you're right, starred in Divergent. And the IMDb, International Movie Database, description of this is as follows. In a world divided by factions based on virtues. Okay? That's... In a world divided by factions based on virtues, Triss learns she's divergent and won't fit in. When she discovers a plot to destroy divergence, the term used to describe those people adherent to virtues antithetical to the environment and the layout, the playing field, Triss and the Mysterious Four must find out what makes divergence dangerous before it's too late. That's at least that's kind of the IMDb International Movie Database storyline, where it's set in this futuristic dystopic world where society is divided into five factions, each representing a different virtue. And the caller's right that yeah, there is these factions being set up, and it's not. And they have, I mean, this has been long in the works, and it's social engineering through the Tavistock Institute, implemented by our colleges, universities, teaching and indoctrinating, not teaching, students and others. Yeah, so that's it. All right, let's move on.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, going next.
We're going to Tom in Tennessee. Tom, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Can you hear me all right?
We can. What's on your mind?
All right. I just want to say hey, and I appreciate the work you guys do. But I'd like to iterate something, if you don't mind. We have many people that teach and preach on prophecy and... you don't ever hear about the mystery being taught, and it's very important.
Mystery or ministry? I didn't catch that. Sorry.
The mystery.
Okay.
The mystery of Paul. Ephesians 3, you know, Romans 16:25.
Okay.
And this is very important too. It help a lot of Christians out to understand where to go in their Bibles. You know, to. It's not offend some people, but it's scripture. If you don't like it, take it up with God. But we're to follow the Apostle Paul. He says it three times in the King James Version. He calls it my gospel three times in the King James Version. Now, we don't worship Paul, but we follow Paul.
All right. Yeah, we don't worship any man. We take counsel in. We take counsel from men. But we certainly don't worship them, but okay, all right.
Yeah, well, Paul goes way out of his way to make a point that what was given to him was not taught to man, but given to him by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And preachers just don't preach on it no more. And Romans 16:25 is pretty strong about this, you know. And we're to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And you just don't hear it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
and it's just very crucial.
The Book of Acts is not taught anywhere. I mean, it's not being taught by mega churches or even corner churches. You know, churches on the on the corner.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up. The Book of Acts, where they mess up, saying that the church starts in Acts 2.
Right.
That's not really where it starts. I believe it starts when Paul gets saved, because he's our apostle. And think about Acts 2, be baptized and then receive the Holy Ghost. That's a lot different than just believe on the gospel.
Also, we have to realize and take notice. I was talking to Pastor Langford not too long ago, and he was talking, too, about there was some acrimony within the disciples, within the apostles. You know, they didn't agree on everything. Some, I mean, doctrinally they did, but the behavioral, some were better fit with others, I guess. And the reason I brought that up is because, you know, we have to understand we are human, as the apostles were as well, special but human. And as a remnant body, we're not going to agree on everything, but that doesn't mean that we are to stomp and you know, snuff out the people, the dissenters, or the, or not dissenters, but the people who disagree. But we are to work with them or find others to work with. But, you know, allow them to go unmolested to preach the gospel. Yeah,
but I just want to make my point that it's very clear in 1 Corinthians 11:1, we are to follow the Apostle Paul. He says it three times. It's a reference to the Godhead, and he calls it my gospel three times. You will never hear Peter, James, or any of the others be able to call it my gospel, because they're preaching a continuation of the kingdom, and what was given to Paul was something different. It was a mystery that was kept secret since the world began.
Yep.
Because if they would have known the mystery, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
the mystery was the fulfillment of Jesus coming in the flesh and dying for our sins. And it was the
Jew and Gentile can be one body. That's what there's several parts to the mystery.
Absolutely. There's go ahead,
Colin. All right,
I mean, it was the fulfilling of Scripture and the Gospel,
let's walk back. What's your bottom line point on this? What's the bottom line point that you're trying to make, so we don't have to go through the intricacies of the mystery?
The bottom line is we're never taught this, and it's not your guys' fault. It's just not taught, and I even went to seminary, no one taught to me. But what was given to Paul, he says, was kept secret since the world began. You will not find it in the laws, the Psalms, and the prophets. It's kept secret for a reason. And it was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says to follow me in 1 Corinthians 11:1 and two other places. That's why he calls it my gospel. You'll never hear Peter call it my gospel or James. That's the point. We are to follow Paul's instruction for this dispensation, because a dispensation was given to Paul for us, and that's 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 15, Galatians 2, and Acts 20.
But not at the exclusion of the rest of the Bible.
No. I'm not saying that. No. The whole Bible is for us. The whole Bible is not to us. I'm actually writing a book right now called The Red Letter Issues, but that's what I've titled it. But Jesus wasn't always talking to us. We have to realize that. It says he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He even told his apostles once, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. We have to know who's speaking and who the audience is and who it's directed to. We just can't take the whole Bible and pick and choose what's for us, say this promise is for us, but we don't want the curse that comes with it. And Paul's books, Romans through Philemon, is where we're at in this dispensation that we should be following. But no, we read the whole Bible for instruction in righteousness and correction in doctrine. But in this dispensation, we should be reading Paul's letters for the church today, for the grace of God.
Okay. Very good.
Is that clear now? That clear. But that's really all I want to say, and keep up the good work, guys, and God bless.
All right. Well,
thanks for pointing that out. Yep. And that's something we'll take a look at later. All right, Tom, you have a good night.
Have a good one. You too. Bye.
All right. Okay. Looks like the last caller dropped. We I don't know. We can stop taking calls, or Todd, if you want to grab the last one there, or not.
Whatever. But after this call, it'll be the last call because we are getting running late, you know, for the night. And again, we mentioned a lot of tactics, a lot of approaches tonight, a lot of things going on, a lot of headlines, and the headlines are just understand this, folks. We are watching, we are being forced to watch as a captive audience, the magic show take place right in front of us on the stage before us, but we are not being permitted to see behind the curtain. That curtain is being ripped down through the secondary or through the new media, and as that curtain is ripped down in the wizards behind the curtain are being exposed for the globalist Luciferians that they are, then we are now approaching a point in our time in the game, excuse me, or the performance that's on stage, or the, we'll say, a football game. You know, we're in the final quarter. We're in the final couple of quarters here. And understand that this is now we are now standing at the precipice, and we are going to see things happen the remainder of this year that have never happened before in the history of man's modern history, in the history of modern man. And it's by design, it's not by accident. So when you hear
disclosures of certain, I see a trend right now. Fluoride has now been classified as a neurotoxin. This has just been released within the last 24 hours.
Well, I mean,
obviously,
we've known about this. Yep.
But to many, it will come, you know, surprising if they choose to read it and believe it. It still is in the drinking water. And my point is, this is not, you know, new or big news. The fact that they're admitting it tells me that they are trying to do something else.
Well,
using this
right.
as a, you know, it's a game they play. Let's take this last call. It's John. And I don't know where you're from, John. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
I'm actually down in Florida, Joel. Thank you very much. Love the
Anointed Word.
Yes. Absolutely, the work you do is anointed. There's no doubt. I think the thing we all have to focus on is, and it can be quite overwhelming what is taking place, but the hand of God is on us, and like we hear all the time, God plus one is the majority, and we have to be prepared to go toe-to-toe with everyone, and not in a jam it down your face, but we have to be the gospel. And Joe, I think you're very effective at doing that. It's a very humble but very strong effort. And there's no pride in it. God can't stand pride. He can't move in pride. So, provided there's going to be a great move of God, it'll skip the cities with pride written across the sky. And you know which ones those are, from D.C. to Boston to Chicago to Los Angeles. So, as this move of God happens, people are going to realize they will be lifted up. You know how you can discern, you guys talk about the power, it's Jesus' power.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, you know, you can go toe-to-toe with anybody, but when people say, Alex Jones is like, he's always like, oh, they have so much power, it's like, they don't. Nothing. They got nothing, you know, and it's all, so
it's a perception of power.
We look at the Facebook and everything, but we have to remember who's got the Trump card here. Not Trump. I like Dr. Carson, but so that's the point I was trying to make.
Well, point well taken.
Yeah.
And in fairness to Alex Jones, and I know that, just talking with him, I know that he has been so effective in exposing the emperor has no clothes. And he's really responsible for, being the pioneer in the movement, in the truth movement. And I don't mean to use that term because it carries with it this connotation of
two documentaries he did, the Obama Deception and Endgame from 2008. I actually watched those in the last couple of days.
Right.
I mean, it was so on the money. It's still very relevant today.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we need to do is... Go ahead.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, we'll call her. Thanks for the call. We're going to cut you loose, and I appreciate that. But I think collectively, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we really need to understand that we have them outnumbered. We have them outgunned, metaphorically speaking. When I say outgunned, I'm talking about we already are the victors in this fight, this heavenly fight that is taking place on Earth. We already have won the battle. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not necessary for us to fight and go through, because we have to do that. But we cannot and should not ascribe more power to these Luciferian impotent people than they do have. We need to respect the battlefield and respect the battle and be aware of things, but not be indifferent, nor be depressed and saying, "Oh, we can't fight City Hall," because fighting that whole mantra, "You can't fight City Hall," is a product of Tavistockian thought and mind control and language controlling of our language. You know, we can fight City Hall. We can fight this battle.
Reading from this book, Brainwashing, it goes in this from the 50s. It talks about this, that if a society of people or civilization of people fight the implementation of any type of rule, law, regulation at the local level hard enough, they will back off. They will back off.
Amen. That's right.
And it states it very clearly, and there is no recourse or end around tactic they give to rectify that. They just basically say, and I'm trying to find it here, that, you know, as they continue to build up and indoctrinate people, there comes a point where the tactics they use might become useless. And where is it here? It talks about the local populations, a local situation, if to ensure active support, to rely on persuasion and constant adaptation to a Marxist ideology on a local situation, they have to persuade others how to do it, or there will be turmoil as the people of that community raise a stink about it. And I'm paraphrasing now, but these local people retain the power because, you know, if the people of the first municipality where these things are enacted in, or if one city or county stands together against it, they have to give up. I mean, it's only through the overarching federal all-encompassing or perceived all-encompassing level they implement something, and it seems too big for one person, one city, one town to fight.
If nothing else, folks, tonight, taking away from tonight, is realize that we are witnessing perversions of our... Well, we're witnessing, I suppose, the final battle, or the final series of battles that have been extended over generations and in reality throughout the millennia. And we are about to see the end game play out here. When I say end game, perhaps it's the end of the quarter, but it's one of the final quarters, or end of a series of plays that are leading up to the final series of plays. We are in the last time of the... We're getting close to the end, I guess. And we need to understand the fight has been ratcheted up. The division is deliberate. The perversions are becoming worse. And we're going to be talking more about that with Dave Hodges tomorrow night. He's got some information that'll just make your socks roll up and down and knock your socks off, perhaps, tomorrow night. He will be our special guest tomorrow night, Dave Hodges.
The Common Sense Show.
Yep, that's right. And of course, he's a radio show host right here on the Global Star Radio Network. So folks, please tune in tomorrow night. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell Amundo, tell whatever. But tomorrow night, Dave Hodges on the Highway to the Highway Report.
Thanks everybody for calling in, participating. Have a great night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network. The